Now, God is good whether you realize it or not. The difference is some people realize it and some people don't. And I'm thankful that I realize the goodness of God. We're going to continue in our study on every sheep needs the shepherd. Every sheep needs the shepherd. And before we get into the message that God's laid upon my heart, maybe Brother Brian, would you get the mic? We'll get a few people to testify. Maybe testify of the goodness of our good shepherd. Our good shepherd is, listen, if you don't know what it's like to be under the care of the good shepherd, you don't know what you're missing in life. You're vulnerable, exposed. But I sure am glad that God has provided through his son, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that I know the care of the good shepherd. While Brother Brian is getting ready there, we talked about in John chapter 10, we talked about the true shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He's the true shepherd. And then we've talked about the terrific shepherd. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's terrific, isn't it? That's terrific. Do you know what it is to go in and out and find pasture? Have you ever walked through the door of salvation and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to not only does the terrific shepherd save, not only does he save and satisfy, but he saves and satisfies and gives security. And we're going to talk about the security of the believer this morning. The final thing we talked about, not only is the good shepherd the true shepherd, he's the terrific shepherd, but he is the triumphant shepherd. He said, I have the power to lay down my life. Now, you're talking about power. That's power that no man knows. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. I'm so thankful that Jesus willingly, voluntarily gave his life that we might know what it is to have forgiveness of sin. Aren't you? What do you know about the good shepherd? Brother Brian, would you start us off? Tell us about what the good shepherd's done in your life.
Well, first of all, I do want to just thank God so much for saving me. I got saved August 2010 at New Life Baptist Church at Old Tent Revival. My mom had prayed for me for years and years and years and years, and I finally answered the call. And if I'm being honest with you, though, I still spent some years of my life wandering. And that's when 2014 rolled around, and that's when I began dating my wife, and I joined here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And for the first time ever in my life, that's when I got consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference in being saved and giving Jesus the preeminence in your life. And I gave Jesus everything. And I'm here to tell you it's the best decision I ever made in my life. I can't put it into words, the joy that was in my heart. And as I stand here today, I wish I could tell you that that was the end of the story. But it wasn't. In my life, I began to cut corners on God. I did. As Pastor David always says, small foxes, it started off. Small foxes led to presumptuous sins, to where I knew I shouldn't be doing things, and I just blew it off and said, well, you know, it's no big deal. I'm going to do it anyway. And not long after, it led to the great transgression. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was one of the lowest points of my life. I was involved in things that I never thought I'd be involved in again. I almost lost my family, and should have, but me and Pastor had this conversation several times. You know it, Pastor. You would talk to me, and I would. The devil had me convinced that there's no use. There's no hope. I'm too far gone. I'll never regain a testimony. I'll never have any worth for Jesus, and I really believed that, but the devil had beat me up and down one side, down the other. But the only thing the devil forgot about was, is August 2010, I got a shepherd. And he came after me. He broke some things in my life, but now as I look back, the reason why he broke some things in my life was so that he could draw me close to himself and hold me and strengthen me. And as I stand here today, I'm not a perfect man, but I can tell you right now, things are different in my life, and it's all because of my shepherd.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the good shepherd. Amen. Amen. Who else? Who will be next? Who will be next? Brother Jimmy?
And I appreciate that testimony for Brian, and let everybody know that Brian goes over to the prison ministries, and he carries that testimony and all with him and what God has done through a loving, praying mother. So I just want to thank God, too, for a praying mother and for a God who never gave up on me. And he chased me, and he would never leave me alone. And I tell my wife now, even after being saved for 30 years, he still won't leave me alone.
Amen.
I can't get away from him. He won't leave me alone. But it's because of his presence. It's because of the passion of God. And that's what he wants for us all. He wants us to trust him. So many years in my life, I trusted in intoxicants and things that would mess my mind up. And not knowing the truth, but I know now. When God says you shall know the truth and truth shall make you free, it's in my hand, Pastor. It's the word of God.
Amen.
This is the only thing that helps me now. This is what keeps me from doing what I shouldn't do. And it's all through God's spirit and his way. So I thank God for bringing me like he did Brian out of that awful way that the world would have me to go. And I thank God for Jesus.
Amen. Amen, Brother Jimmy. Amen. Brother Allen. Then Brother Don after Brother Allen. I'm glad for the good shepherd.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't think God saved me. I made a profession when I was young, Brother Don and Jimmy's sister and others that come by our house and with a bus and got us in church. So I think I was about 13 when I made that profession, but I struggled with that pretty much all my life until 2011, Sammy Allen meeting. And I said, you know, I'm not fighting this anymore. And I went forward and got it right. And I'm so glad I did, preacher.
Amen.
It's been a big relief.
Amen.
But God's allowed us to do a lot of things. We've been in a bus ministry for 35 years. We've been teaching Sunday school for 30 years or so. And now allowed us to be with the Glory Days class. And that bacon was good this morning, preacher.
Amen.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, amen.
Not rubbing it in, nothing. But
yeah.
All I can say is thank God for all the opportunities he's given us, allowed us to do. We ain't perfect for sure. We never have been perfect. We never will be until we get to heaven. But he's allowed us to do a lot of things, see a lot of great things. We see our little kids we picked up. On the bus, you know, over the years, and now they're 30-some years old, they come up to us. We ran into one in Tennessee. They've entered and said, hey, you picked us up on a bus. It's just amazing. God just keeps reminding you that it's worth it. Just keep
Amen.
On going, and he'll give us those rewards later on. That would be wonderful. But it's wonderful now just to see those folks.
Amen.
It's just great.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Allen. Brother Don?
I'd like to thank you, Lord, for saving me. God saved me in 1971. Before that happened, I was living my life for myself. I started drinking at an early age. I went through a divorce. I drank even harder after that. I worked all the time. I had a new car. I had fine clothes. I had money in my pocket all the time. And I was living what I thought was the American dream, I guess. But I remember one night, I drank in beer joints until they closed them down at night. And I left a beer joint one night. And I was driving down Commonwealth Avenue in Alexandria, Virginia. And I spoke audibly out to the Lord. I just said, Lord, is this it? Is this all there is? I party, I drink. I work 7 days a week, and when I wasn't working, I party all weekend. And when I realized that there was more to life than what I was doing, God started working in my life. He moved me out of Alexander, Virginia. He moved me down to Pates, Virginia, in Spotsylvania County, almost across the road from the pastor's house. God moved that pastor out of there, and he brought a man in who was teaching in a Christian school down in Fort Pierce, Florida. And that man came up and candidated for Belmont Baptist Church. And he came across the road to talk to me. And of course, I was about half lit and wasn't, you know. I knew there was something missing in my life, but I just didn't know what it was. I hadn't been to a church anywhere since I was just a small child. And Brother Ben talked to me, and he just laughed because he had already been where I was at. And he knew what I was fighting. And he invited me to church. And it just so happened that my mother-in-law, who was one of the most godly Christian ladies I've ever met in my life, when I married my wife, I got on her prayer list. She started praying for me. And I went to church that Sunday, not really seeking the Lord or seeking it. I went to church that Sunday to appease my mother-in-law. And Brother Wharton preached on hell, and he preached it hot in just a little old church, probably about as wide as that center section there, about half as long. And he preached on hell, and I was raised in an environment you didn't show emotion or anything, and I stood there holding on to a back of a pew just like it, old wooden pews with no cushions on them or nothing. And I held on to that pew, and he gave an invitation from the pulpit. He said, if you know that Christ died for you and you're willing to confess your sins to him and ask him to come into your heart and save you, he'll do it. I prayed that prayer that morning, and God saved me. And
amen.
The good thing about it, I'm saved for all eternity. I'm going to heaven one day, brother.
Amen.
And there's nothing can stop that. The president can't issue an executive order to unchange it. The Supreme Court can't change that. The Congress of the United States can't change it. The military. I'm going to heaven one day. And
amen.
If there's anything in this world that make you happier than that, I'd like to know what it is because I never could find it.
Amen. 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 Brother Josh. We'll get a couple of more, then I'm going to share some thoughts that God's laid on my heart.
August 2022, I lost everything. And December 1st, it all changed. And I got everything back and more.
Amen.
So I just want to thank God for that.
Amen. Amen, Josh. Amen. All right, anyone have Brother Robert? Got time for one more after Brother Robert. And then we'll get into the message this morning. I'm glad we have a good shepherd. I'm glad that God never gives up on us. You say, God saves old sinners. Yeah, I know, just like you. You say, well, I didn't get out drinking. Well, that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. That just means you were a sinner who didn't drink. Brother Robert?
I want to praise the Lord for saving me in 2021, December, I believe it was. Ever since then, he's worked in my heart, my family's heart. I've seen us grow. I've seen us fall a little bit. I think God bring us back up.
Amen, Rob.
Every day he works in my heart. He helps me. Every day I feel like I die to myself. Every day I want to do his will.
Amen.
There's just the little things. They let me know he's there every day. I got to see my kids play the piano at a recital last week. And he reassured me that with all things is possible.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff, Brother Robert. I love hearing from these new Christians. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Calvin. This will be our last one, Brother Calvin.
Thank you. Yep, I'm Brother Calvin. If y'all didn't know me, and I used to have a nickname. My name was Crazy Calvin. And that's before I had a shepherd. And I've been reminiscing and looking back over the maniac of Gadara in the Bible, and if I could say myself that that was me. And then one day, and I got saved. A man introduced me to Christ, Dwayne Yates. I worked with him every day and worked around him, and he kept trying to introduce me to Christ. And I was a young man, and I didn't at the time. I told him, I don't. What I need God for, who is he, and what's he going to do for me? And then like everything, you start tempting God, and you say there is no God, and you don't need God, and next thing you know, you're on your face, and you lose it all. And that's how much he loved me, and I'm glad that he did. Don't know how much you need him until you lose it all, really. And I'm glad that he is my shepherd. I'm glad he lets me go in and out. And amen. I do find a lot of pasture, and more than I've ever had in my life. And I appreciate what the Lord's done for me.
Amen. Amen. If you're saved, you have a story. Every Christian has a story. Amen. I want you to look in your Bible. Thank you for your testimonies, and thank you for sharing with us. I hope that everyone here understands you need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. You need the shepherd. And the shepherd is calling you. The shepherd is calling his sheep. He's seeking you. We looked at that last week in Luke 15. He's left, and he's come seeking you. And he'll seek you until he finds you. I forgot who it was. I think it was Brother Jimmy said, he just won't leave me alone. You know, I can remember a time in my own life where I got to the place to where I said, you know, I just wish that my grandmother would just leave me alone. She was always telling me about Jesus. And I just wish Grandma would just leave that stuff alone. I sure am glad she didn't. I sure am glad she didn't. I've heard folks say, you know what, you Christians, why don't y'all just leave us alone? You better be glad God's people don't leave you alone. Why don't God just leave me alone? You better be glad God doesn't leave you alone. Last thing you want to do is be alone in this world without the God of heaven. That's right. When God leaves you, it gets dark, brother. I mean real dark. Real dark. You say, well, I've never drank a beer in my life. It can get dark without booze. Well, I've never done a drug in my life. It can get dark without drugs. That's right. So please don't think because, you know, that you've never done a vice like drugs or drink that you're okay. Now, you're not okay. You were born into sin, and you have offended a holy God. And the only way that you will ever have peace and purpose in your life is to come to Jesus Christ. It's the only way. I want to make a statement, then I'm going to get into this security. I fear sometimes that when we talk to people about Jesus and we talk to people about Christianity, that we offer them everything but the thing they need to be offered. Can I tell you, when you're talking to somebody that's never been saved in the grace of God, you really don't need to offer them better health. They can get better health and still die in their sin and go to hell. You don't need to offer them even a better life. They can get a better life and still die in their sin and go to hell. What you need to offer them is what Jesus paid for them. And that is the penalty for their sin. That's where it's at. I can't guarantee that if you get saved, your health will improve. I can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee that your salary will go up. I cannot guarantee that. But I can guarantee you, on the authority of God's Word, that if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He will forgive you of your sin. I can guarantee you that on the authority of the Word of God. Now, what happens when you get saved, preacher? Well, we look in John 10. In John chapter number 10, we talked about the true shepherd. We've talked about the terrific shepherd. We said, first of all, the terrific shepherd saves. Look at verse number 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so the terrific shepherd saves. And then the terrific shepherd satisfies. Notice, if you would, in the rest of verse number 9 and then verse number 10. Once you get saved, he said, you shall go in and out and find pasture. That means that you will be provided for, that he will lead your life, that he will supply for you in your life. And then it says in verse number 10, the thief cometh not. And there's an enemy. And once you get saved in the grace of God, the enemy is going to go to work in your life. Now, as long as he has you, well, you know, there's not a whole lot of defense that you're going to put up. He's got you. But once you get saved, well, now he's coming after you because he can't get your soul. He wants to get your joy. Amen. He wants to get your testimony. See, once you get saved, you're in Christ. And we're going to see that in just a moment. And the devil can't get your soul any longer, but he sure can rob you of your joy. He can rob you and I of our testimony. He can rob us of the abundant life. He cannot take that eternal life, but he can rob us of the abundant life. Look at what it says in verse 10. We're talking about the terrific shepherd that saves, and now it says he satisfies. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus says. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life that satisfies. And then the secure life. So we talked about the terrific shepherd that saves, the terrific shepherd that satisfies. Now let's look at verse number 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. So you can be a sheep and not be his sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. You can be a sheep and not his sheep. See, in order to be his sheep, that means you're in his possession, as we shall see in just a moment. He said in verse number 26, he said, but ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep. See, when you're his sheep, you're in his possession. That's a possessive term. See, I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to me. If you're saved, you belong to the shepherd. Amen. Amen. God's sheep belongs to the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. He possesses us. My sheep. Are you his? Are you his sheep? Do you belong to him? My sheep hear my voice. Look at it, verse 28. And I know them, verse 27, I'm sorry, and they follow me. And I give unto them. That's talking about power. What power that this shepherd has, that he can give us. Notice what this great shepherd, this triumphant, this terrific shepherd can give. Eternal life. There's no one else that can offer you this. This terrific shepherd says, I give. And I want to put emphasis on give. You cannot earn this. We do not deserve this. I give unto them eternal life. This speaks of the strength of the shepherd. I give unto them eternal life. Think about that for a moment. What strength? What strength? I have the power to give unto you this gift, the gift of eternal life. But then think not only the strength of the shepherd, but the weakness of the sheep. We cannot gain this. We cannot take hold of this in ourselves. We need it to be given to us. This is something that we cannot attain on our own. It must be given to us. And this terrific shepherd has said, if you will acknowledge that I am your shepherd, if you will come to me and get in the fold, if you will repent of your sin, if you will trust me, I will become your shepherd. You will be my sheep. You will be in my possession. And I will give unto you eternal life. Notice what it says after that. They shall never perish. Now I want to just take the few moments that I have left and talk to you about the importance of eternal security. I see in this section of Scripture eternal security. Not only are the sheep saved and satisfied, But thank God we are secure. Amen? Well, now, preacher, you know, you get saved, and then if you just do certain things, you know, you're not saved. Well, you bring me that list of things you do that will get you lost, and we'll have a conversation after the service. A saved man can never be lost again. Amen. Never. Never. If he can, then Jesus is lying. And if Jesus is lying, listen, we need to just shut this thing down and go on home. We're wasting our time. But I'm here to tell you that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for Jesus Christ to lie. He is the truth. He doesn't just tell the truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. And he said, look at it one more time here in verse number 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what's the next word? Never perish. Never. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture, and then we're going to read these scripture, and I'll be through for today. All right, we'll come back next week, the Lord willing, and talk about the triumphant shepherd on Sunday morning. Now, tonight, Pastor David will be preaching out of the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn, first of all, to Philippians chapter number 1. Would you do that? Philippians chapter number 1. We're talking about the security of the sheep. Can a person that is saved, can someone that Jesus said, you're my sheep, can they ever not be his sheep again? Once we're in the shepherd's possession, can we ever not be in his possession again? Well, you say, well, you know, some church say this, some church says that, this preacher said this, this preacher said that, this denomination preaches this denomination preaches that, not concerned about any of that. What saith the Scriptures? What does God say? See, that's what we need to get concerned about. Amen? What the Scriptures say. Philippians 1:6. Look at verse number 6 of Philippians. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing. Now, I like the way the apostle starts it off, amen? He said, this is a conviction to me. I am confident. When you look that word confident up, it is akin to the word conviction. He said, I have a deep-seated conviction. I am confident, not in me, not in you Philippians. You're good folks, but I'm not that confident in you. But I am confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Is that what the book says, brethren? Amen. Being confident of this very thing. What are you confident about, Paul? What are you confident about? That he which hath, what's that next word? Begun. He which hath begun. See, listen. You didn't get saved by anything you've done. Jesus, the Spirit of God, came to you, spoke to us, drew us, wooed us, convicted us, and then converted us. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he, not ye, he which hath begun a good work in you. See, God started this work. Now here it is. Don't miss this. I want you to write this word down. Perseverance. You say, oh, now, preacher, I don't believe in the perseverance of the saints. I'm not speaking about the perseverance of the saints. I'm talking about the perseverance of the Holy Spirit of God, amen. The Spirit of God will not leave you undone. The Spirit of God will not leave you unfinished. He began that work, and he is going to finish it, amen. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God will not leave you as the work of Christ unfinished? He said he will perform it. He's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that came into my heart when I got saved in the grace of God and is going to perform that. What is he going to perform? The performing of me being conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's why God saves anyone that is saved. We are saved to be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen? So I hope you understand this. He said, he hath begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? See, God's not going to leave you hanging somewhere. God's not going to leave you undone, unfinished. Until is the completion of that work. And I'm glad God completes his work. And so if you could be saved and lost again, the work's not done. Can I tell you, God always finishes what he starts. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have another evidence of eternal security, eternal life. The first one is the perseverance or the performance of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of folks think, well, I have to perform in order to stay saved. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God's going to do that. It's the Holy Spirit of God that begun that work, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that's going to perform that work until it's finished. That's what Scripture teaches. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, look there if you would, the Bible says this. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so this, I want you to notice this. If any man be in Christ, this is one of Paul's favorite phrases, in Christ. Now think about this for a moment. He said, when you get saved, when we get converted, we go from being in Adam to being in Christ. Now you can't be in both. You're either in Adam, a natural man, or you're in Christ, a spiritual man. That's the only two spheres of life that there is upon this earth. Amen. And so you go, when you get saved, you go from being in Adam to in Christ. Now you keep the Adamic nature, but you're no longer in Adam, for in Adam all die. You go to being in Adam when you get saved, when we get converted, we become a new creature in Christ. Now think about that for a moment. We are in Christ. How do you get in Christ? 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So see, when we get in Christ, that means that we are now his body. We are a part of his body. We are members of his body. Now I'm going somewhere with this. So if you become a member of Christ's body, and then you are no longer a member of that body. Somebody has severed, mutilated, amputated from Christ's body. That is preposterous. Are you telling me that the body of Christ in his glorified state, in his resurrected state, is all mangled and cut and amputated? Someone said, well, you know, I know Jesus said that when you get saved in John 10, that he said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And he said that we're in his hand. But what about if you jump out of his hand? Well, first of all, I don't think you understand how big his hands are. But second of all, I want to propose something to you. You might not be just in his hand. You might be a part of his hand. You might be a finger. You are a part of the body. I hope you understand that. So there is this perseverance of the Holy Spirit in Philippians, but here in Corinthians, he talks about this position that you have. Paul wrote about it in Ephesians, brother. Please listen to me. Grab hold of this morning. In Ephesians chapter number 4, it talks about the whole body fitly joined together. We're the body of Christ. We're in Christ. You know what the Bible says about that? Therefore, there is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to them which are what? In Christ. Right? Is that what the word says? It is. We're eternally secure. Now, I'll get to some things in just a moment. People say, well, you know, if you're eternally secure, then you just go out and live any old way you want. That doesn't mean that you're not eternally secure. That probably means you're not saved. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. I want you to turn to a third scripture. Turn, if you would, to John 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 24. In John 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, in verse number 24, we go from perseverance of the Holy Spirit to position of the believer in Christ to possession. I possess eternal life. You possess. If you're saved, now please listen carefully, because the devil is reaping havoc on people. There are people that cannot sleep at night. There are people that cannot think straight. because they're afraid that they've lost their salvation. Don't believe the enemy. He's a liar. He's a liar. And he will, listen, he will play with your mind. He will absolutely, he will torture you with this thing. Well, I hope I didn't do enough to cross over. I hope I didn't sin too much, and now I'm lost. You didn't quit sinning to get saved, and you won't sin enough to get lost. If you're saved, did you hear me? Your good works don't save you, and your bad works don't cause you to be lost. If we could just get a hold of what the Bible says, the Bible, not what a denomination or a church or a preacher or, no, the Scripture, brethren, the Scripture. Grab hold of what the Word of God says, the Word of God. Look at John 5:24. Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word," now, listen, he's going to tell you how you get saved. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life." Didn't say shall have. The moment that you hear the word of God and faith is generated in your bosom, and by that faith you believe, you trust in him. Is that what the word says, brethren? "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," I say unto you, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," is that John 5:24? "Shall not come into condemnation." Why? Because you have eternal life. Look at that word. "Hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation." So I'm afraid that, you know, I'm going to sin and I'm going to come into condemnation one day. Well, Jesus said that you're not going to. So who are you going to believe, you or him? Who are you going to believe? It's laid out right there. I want you to look at John 5:24. "He that heareth my word." See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. The gift of faith comes by hearing the word of God. When you hear the word of God, God will give the gift of faith for you to what? Look at the next phrase. "And believeth on him that sent me." To trust the finished work of Jesus. God will give you the faith to do that. When you do that, right then, look at what it says now. "Hath," you possess right now eternal life. "Hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's the word. That's the word of God. We possess eternal life. Yeah, I don't have to wait until I die and wake up in eternity to find out if I'm going to heaven or not. I'm standing before you right now saying, on the authority of God's word, not on any good that I have done, God knows I've given him enough reasons not to love me or to receive me into heaven, but God hasn't taken any of them. Amen. He has put his blood on my life. Amen. He has accepted my plea of faith. He has given me amazing grace. And because of that, I am going to heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm on my way. I'm going to heaven. You ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'm just going to tell you why. Because my sins are gone. That's why. Amen. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. Amen. You see, Jesus said, you have it. You have eternal life. When you get saved, when I get saved, we possess eternal life in the person of the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, the moment we get saved, we are sealed until the day of Jesus Christ. That's security, brethren. That's security. So first of all, there's the perseverance or the performance of the Holy Spirit. And then, that's in Philippians 1. And then we've seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, well, we're the position. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. Then there's possession. We possess eternal life. We're not waiting to possess it. I am a possessor of eternal life right now. You are too if you're saved. So, well, you know, when I die, I hope they'll let me in. That's nonsense. Listen, that's fictitious. That's fictitious. That's fairy tale stuff. That's not biblical. Amen. 1 Peter, if you would turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I have one more, and then we'll be through after 1 Peter. You say, preacher, what are you trying to convince us of? Well, I'm really not trying to, maybe I am a little trying to convince. I'm trying to help some people here that can't seem to get peace in their heart that if they have trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, they are eternally secure. Because this shepherd that you have come under the care of is not only able to save you, he's not only able to satisfy you, he is able to secure you in his power. 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, look if you would in verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Peter is writing to the saints here in verse number 3. He said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Now watch this. And that fadeth not away. I like this next word. Reserved in heaven. Not by you. For you. Amen. Can I tell you, God's made your reservation. If you check in with the Savior at Calvary, God's made your reservation for glory land. Amen. Amen. How's that going to happen, preacher? Look at verse number 5. Who are kept, I like that, by the power of God. See, it's the power of God that keeps me saved. I sure am glad that I don't have to rely on me to keep me saved. If I'd have had to rely on me to keep me saved, I probably would have, the very day, October the 26th, 1980, I got saved. Before that day even ended, I'd have probably been lost again. But I sure am glad that the good shepherd, this terrific shepherd, I'm bragging on our shepherd this morning, brethren. I'm bragging on Jesus. He not only saves me, he keeps me saved. You too. You too. God has lost none. Jesus said, of all that thou gavest me out of the world, I've lost none. You say, well, he lost Judas. Well, he said that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas never was saved. You go through, look here at verse number 5 of 1 Peter, who are kept. You see that word? Underline it. And when you get home today, turn to John 17. That's the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see this word, keep, 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 keep coming up. It means to safeguard. It means to watch over. We are kept, brethren. We are garrisoned. We are watched over. God is not going to let any enemy get one of his little sheep. Amen. Amen. We're kept by the power of God. I want you to be secure in that. I want you to be secure not in who you are, what you do. I want you to be secure in whose you are, not who you are. Jesus Christ. Let's close with this. Romans chapter number 8, and we'll close, okay? I saved the best for last, I believe. Now, you may feel differently. So, let's recap as we find Romans chapter 8. So, the Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They're my sheep. Now, not all sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And that word know is an intimate term. I know them, and they follow me. And I give. Now, they don't earn it. They don't deserve it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's actually a double negative there. No, never. They shall never, no, never perish. He said in the book of Philippians, he said, he's begun the good work, he's going to finish it. He said in the book of Corinthians, you're in Christ. You're safe. Your life is hid with God in Christ. Amen? Or with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3. And then he says, so there's the perseverance. Then there's the position. There's the possession. We possess eternal life. Is that John 5:24? We possess it right now. Right now. And then there's the power of God that keeps us saved. We're kept by the power of God. Our reservation's made. We're as good as in heaven. That's right. We're just, listen, we're just waiting for our time here to play out so that we'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You checking in. I'm checking in. If you're saved. But I think this is my favorite. The promise. I'm just going to read these scriptures. They'll speak for themselves, but it's going to be hard for me not to make a comment. He speaks about in verses 30, 29 and 30 of Romans 8, predestined. We predestined. He said in the latter part of verse number 30, he said, those whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's right. If you're justified, that's saved. We're justified by faith, Romans 5:1. We're just as well as glorified. Is that what the scripture says? And then he said, not only are we predestined, but we're preserved. In verse number, look if you would, in verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now I want you to think about this with me, brethren. Are you there? Oh, I hope you are. He said, now, who's going to take you away? Who or what is going to take you away from this power that I presented unto you? The power of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone stronger than God? We're kept by the power of God. Who is going to wrestle one of the sheep from the power of God? You better believe it's no one. That word power in Peter is dunamis. It's almighty. There's no way. And he said in verse number 35 here of chapter 8 of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. In all of these things, he said, we are more, not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors through him. Amen. More than conquerors, brethren. And then he got down into verse number 38 and he said, and here it is again, I am persuaded. Oh, Paul was, he was persuaded about what God could do. I hope you are this morning. I hope you're persuaded about what our God can do, especially when it comes into this thing of preserving. A lot of Christians, they think they're pickled, but if they're saved, they're preserved. Amen. That's what Jude said. Read it. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. He said in verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. And I like this. Paul said, this could go on and on and on. Or any other creature. Amen. Any other creature. Just throw it in the mix. Just throw it in there. If it's time, if it's matter, if it's space, if it's in the world above us, if it's the world around us, if it's in the world below us, if it's height, that Jesus is span, if it's depth, that Jesus is plumb, to make sure that we are kept by the power of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're secure, brethren. Secure, secure, secure. We're going to heaven, amen. We're going to heaven. There is nothing that the enemy can do about it. Nothing. You say, oh, now, preacher, the enemy will fight you. That's okay. Suit up, brethren. Suit up. Go to war. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't lay down and die. Suit up. Go to war. We're in a warfare. This is not a time to rest. It's a time to fight. Fight for what Christ has given. Don't give up ground. Gain ground. We're Christians. We're Christians, and we've been called upon to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And so the scripture says here, Jesus said, my sheep. Well, when you turn over to Psalm 23, David said, my shepherd. Amen. Boy, I tell you right now, it's wonderful to be a part of the fold. Are you glad you're part of the fold? Isn't it wonderful to be part of that fold? I'm so glad that I'm known and called by the name of Christ. Don't you walk out of here. Don't you walk out of here today or any other day with your head held low. If you're a child of God, hold your head up. Hold your head up. I don't mean listen in pride. I mean hold your head up for who you represent. You don't have to walk around with your head hung low. Listen, it's not your father that's a thief and a robber and a murderer and a liar. That was your father. But if you're saved, your father is the father of goodness and grace and mercy and long-suffering and patience. Amen. Thank God for our father. Thank God for our shepherd. What a great shepherd we have. It's wonderful to be a Christian. I wonder if you're a Christian. I wonder if today you could say, you know,
listening to that, I thought I heard him call my name. Because I'm one of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Can you leave here today and say, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you? I hope you can. Now, if you can't, as we stand to our feet, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. I want you to bow your head with me. The pianist is going to play softly. And I want you to think about this as the pianist plays. I want you to think about this. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus is my Savior. And here's how I know that. And I want you to think about it right now. I know I'm saved because, can you go back? Can you envision it? Do you remember when the sweet Holy Spirit of God wooed you in your heart and drew you to Christ, and you realized your sin was far too great for you to pay the price? The Spirit of God showed you and reminded you that the price has already been paid, and you trusted the price that Jesus paid for your sin, and you prayed and ask the Lord to be your Savior. And now you're saved. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit? It will now if you're saved. Are you walking under the leadership of the true shepherd, this terrific shepherd? Are you allowing Him to lead you beside the still waters, to make you to lie down in the green pastures and lead you in those paths of righteousness for His name's sake? Are you allowing the good shepherd to do this as one of His sheep? If you are, would you bow in your heart right now and say, thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. Thank you for guiding me all along the way. Thank you for never leaving me nor forsaking me. But now, if you're not following Him, you're saved, but you're just not following. You've wandered. Not that you're lost. You've wandered from the fold, and you need to come home. Why don't you either come down here to the altar or bow in your heart and say, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know. I remember when I trusted You. But I've wandered. I've wavered, and I want to bring myself back under Your constant care. I want to bring myself back close to Your side. Forgive me. Receive me back under Your constant eye and care. Would you do that as a Christian? If you're here and you've never been saved, never trusted Christ, would you admit that? Would you acknowledge it? I'm not a Christian. Don't claim to be. But I realize that I need to be. I realize that I'm not one of His sheep. But I sure would like to be. And today I've been drawn. I have been shown my need of the shepherd. And I'd ask, preacher, why these folks are praying, would you remember me? I'm not saved. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you slip your hand? I just want to pray for you. You say, well, they said that last time. They said they wouldn't come to me. I'm not coming to you. I want to pray for you. I want to help you. Whether you raise your hand or not, could I ask you to do this? Would you pray in your heart and say, God, help me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I want to trust You. And I'm going to stand right up here after the service. And if you'll come to me, maybe somebody that will come with you, I don't know, and just say, let's go see the preacher. I want to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. And then once I show you, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. You must make the choice. I can't make it for you. If I could, I would, but I can't and I won't.
but I'll at least give you the choice. All right?